You know, you have to always have confidence. Some good football snaps there in the second half.
Buckley,
scouting
service, has
most in my
quarterback
in the NFL.
Is he doing
anything?
Dale Arnold.
Yeah, Mike's got a lot of great qualities.
You know, Bill was my coach. You know, he traded me to Kansas City.
Great leadership.
Guys suck.
We have to do everything we can to try to beat the Patriots.
Rich Keefe.
I didn't think you'd get the whole ass.
I got it. Not today, Dale.
Dale and Keefe, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, it took longer to get there than I thought it would.
What's that?
But we got there. And we got there primarily because of the opponent the Patriots are playing this week.
Where are we?
But we got there.
Where are we?
We got Greg Bedard,
yes.
Boston Sports Journal, Chris Gasper, Boston Globe,
uh-huh.
Both basically saying Belichick knew exactly what he was doing in the Super Bowl.
No, he didn't.
He was right.
No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't.
Don't yell at me. I'm just relaying the message
here. How do you feel about it? Do you agree with those guys? No, you can't.
Look, I didn't have a problem. I hate to be in lockstep here because I know people would like it more if we screamed and yelled at each other.
Sure, we can still do that.
Yeah, okay yeah.
I'll play the role.
I'm telling you, I agree with you, Rich.
I'll play the role of Gasper then. Okay. Oh, he was right.
So the whole deal is I didn't have a problem with not starting him. When the wheels started to fall off the wagon, maybe you could have considered slipping him in for a play or two.
Yeah, just try it. Just see if it works. I actually did have a problem with him not starting. I just thought, I know he wasn't great last year, so it wasn't like he went from being all pro to the worst corner. Because again, Malcolm Butler, as the one gentleman asked or pointed out to Belichick, there's a certain metric out there, there's a certain service, there's a website service
that says that he's the Keith Law of football.
Yeah, like, all right, easy with the stats. But the reality is he's terrible. You can just watch the game on Monday night or any of the games, I guess, for the Titans this year. Their defense has been good. Malcolm Butler has been really bad. But I don't think you go from playing 98% of the snaps in the regular season, 100% of the snaps in the playoffs, and then it's Super Bowl time and he doesn't play. And then 8 months later, you know, he signs a monster contract and is now with the Tennessee Titans and he sucks for the Titans. Doesn't mean that he shouldn't have played in February, the first week of February. If we start doing that, it doesn't. Belichick's always talking about the now. Like, how can you help the team right now? He's not worried about what he did in the past, and he's not worried about if the guy's going to be good or bad next year while he's trying to win a Super Bowl.
Here's the deal, according to Bedard.
Don't yell at me.
I'm
running a little hot already here.
I'm just relaying the message.
Yeah.
According to Bedard, the Titans played the Eagles earlier this year.
Can we confirm that?
They did.
Okay.
Yeah. Malcolm Butler allowed 7 receptions on 7 targets, 119 yards and a touchdown.
Oh, my God.
And a passer rating against of 158.3, which is perfect.
What? So if you threw this was to him, this you was, completed a pass.
And he also missed 2 tackles in that game, by the way.
Oh,
so
that's one thing he's usually good at.
When he had a chance to play against the Eagles,
yeah.
Bedard is saying,
uh-huh.
He coughed up a furball here. So why would you think that it was going to be different last February?
Because they're different seasons. Like, what are you talking about?
I would have said it's a different team.
It's a different it's a different game. It's a different day. It's a different everything. His contract is different. He's older by 6 months. Like, whatever. Like, there's a million different reasons. Butterfly effect. There's all different reasons why it's different.
Did you like that movie, by the way?
I actually kind of did.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I had no problem. Eamon, no on Butterfly effect?
I thought it was all right.
It wasn't bad.
And interesting concept.
I don't like Ashton Kutcher, but I thought Amy Smart turned in a hell of a performance. I thought that movie was pretty good, but I also saw it when I was, you know, however old. So,
all right, so let me give you more Bedard.
No, but
I'm going to make it worse for
it's
you.
Driving me
I'm going to make it worse.
This is revisionist history 101.
The 3 defensive backs who played because Malcolm Butler didn't: Eric Rowe, Jordan Richards, Johnson Batamosi.
Yeah, I love those last two.
They had passer ratings against between 118.8, 131.3. So they were all bad too.
Yeah, they're
but
terrible.
Not as bad as Malcolm Butler was when he played the Eagles
in a game
as a member of the Titans, by the way, not as a member of the Patriots.
Week 4, 2018 has nothing to do with the Super Bowl from last year at all. So here's another example. You remember Darrell Revis? Remember him? Former cornerback for the New England Patriots. Darrell Revis spent 1 year with the Patriots. He was awesome. Awesome. They won a Super Bowl with him as one of the best players on the defense. Do you remember how he played the next year? Do you remember how Darrell Revis was?
Yeah.
So because he was
not
bad,
so then, good.
Well, he should have benched him in the Super Bowl. He should have saw that coming. He should have saw that he was going to go to the Jets, make a ton of money, get fat, and be terrible. He never should have played him there. That's the same argument. Oh, he's bad the next year, so he shouldn't have played him. Good God. Like, I'm with you, Dale. Like, I personally would have started, but I would have started him.
I would not have started Butler. I didn't have a problem with that. But when I saw
but the
that,
way the game is
when
going,
I saw that
no
my
excuse.
Game plan yeah. wasn't working,
there's no excuse.
I would have said, okay, we gotta shuffle things around here. Yeah. This was what my plan was.
Because here's the thing: if you want to say Belichick is a genius for not re-signing him, then sure. However, as Tommy,
that's correct.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Before you take credit for that, Bill,
I don't as know. Tom, he's taking it if you're offering.
I know he's going to take it, but hold on. As Tommy Curran pointed out yesterday, you go back a year earlier, they offered Butler a 5-year deal. So this is the yeah. thing that certain people will ignore. It's similar to Wes Welker. When Wes Welker went to the Broncos and was really good for half a season, then got a concussion, and then fell off the face of the earth, everybody said, ha-ha, Patriots are smart for not signing Welker. Well, guess what? They offered him a contract, too. He could have been here. Same with Malcolm Butler. So before you throw a victory lap, like, oh, Belichick, he sniffed that one out. He knew he wasn't going to be very good. Well, no, he offered him a 5-year deal 2 seasons ago.
Here's where I and again, I'm going back and forth. In Gasper's piece,
yes,
he says Belichick, quote, recognized a downturn in Butler's game before anyone else. Except, as you point out, the offer. Calm down.
On. Okay.
Calm down. Let's get it out
true.
First before you.
Like, it's not so when he played, when he played every snap, Dale, in the division round in the AFC Championship game,
right.
He just was playing a guy who sucks every single defensive snap
maybe
for
the
two
other,
games.
Maybe the other also sucks guys weren't as ready to play as he was.
Batamosi and Jordan freaking Richards.
Look, here's the deal. I have zero issue with not signing him. And that was before how he played this year.
Right, that
they
worked
were
out.
Right.
And because Gilmore ended up being really good.
Not extending
fine.
Him, even though, as Tommy Curran pointed out, they tried.
Right.
They
right.
failed. Good. I'm glad they
out.
Failed because you
that
know what?
Out.
I don't think he's going to be very good going forward.
Does not seem like
he's
it.
He's not good now at all.
No, I think he's going to be a safety next year.
But
that's
that also has very little to do with last February.
Nothing. It has nothing to
but
do with it.
But that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to take those two things and make them one.
I
see,
don't get
because
it.
He was right not signing him in March.
I think they're just trying to get people out.
He was right in not playing him in February.
I thought I was over it. I thought I was over. I'm not at all. As soon as somebody starts to bring it up, I get all fired up again because we did shows, countless shows. So first of all, thank you, Bill Belichick. You made our job very easy for multiple months.
I don't know if it made
your
job easier.
Butler didn't play.
A little hot.
I was running hot.
Almost all of that.
No, that's true. But it was good. It was a good topic. Everybody had their opinion on it, and that was great. But to go back now, again, it's revisionist history is all it is. If a guy is bad the next season, that doesn't mean that you knew he was going to be horrible in that game. If you knew he was going to be horrible, why did he play every defensive snap against the Jaguars? A game in which was super close. They were losing in the fourth quarter. If you thought he was bad then, I don't think you'd have him on the field. What about the other in the division round? Would you have had him play there? Or what about him playing more than anybody else? Now, I know some will make the argument that Eric Rowe replaced him early in the season. Right, was it the Saints game?
Right.
It was like early in the season they made the switch,
and they did, and
they
then
did.
He got hurt right away in the first
quarter.
He got
hurt, and
they
then,
had to go back.
And then you have a long way to go, and we've seen them trade guys away at the halfway point. Right, if they really didn't like him, they could have traded him away like Jamie Collins. They didn't. They stuck by him. He was a starter and played the whole time. And again, last year is not the year that he really wanted in a contract year. He was not.
I think he absolutely got affected by it.
I think he did. Yeah. Oh, I absolutely
I
do.
Think he was just, yeah. You know, he was trying so hard. He wanted so badly.
But he's even worse now.
I know. And he's got the deal.
He's got the deal. And maybe
so
it's again, different
so
pressure.
He sucked before because he was trying to get the deal.
Yeah.
And he sucks now because he got the deal.
I think so.
That seems confusing, doesn't it?
Well, he just puts a lot of pressure on himself, maybe. Maybe he's that guy. In the first couple of years in the league, he was just trying to – it was a different kind of motivation. He was just trying to prove that he belonged. And I think that was a little bit easier for him. I mean, this is just me guessing. But then now when it really becomes all about, you know, the business part of it, you're trying to make as much money as possible. And, you know, last year he sees how much money Stephon Gilmore got. And he's thinking, well, this guy, he was on the Bills. He's like, I'm a Super Bowl, you know, hero in a sense. And all this, and then he doesn't get the money. Now he has the money, but he's being exposed. And he's been really bad. But, again, I don't understand how you can – and Bedard and Gasper are both – good. I don't understand.
Good football minds.
Yes, I don't know how they're coming up with this. Being like, Belichick was right in the Super Bowl. No, he wasn't. Because I don't know. They have nothing to do with each other. The two games have nothing to do with each other.
My sincere hope is that he continues to suck for another week.
Well, for one more week.
Yeah, yeah. And then if he wants to turn his career around.
I don't know what it is about it. Maybe
he's really a good guy, by the way.
He's a good guy.
The teammates love him. They got nothing bad to say about him, privately, publicly, nowhere. I mean, they like him.
And maybe it's because, I mean, it has to be because of the play against Seattle, but just also the way he kind of carried himself. I usually don't feel bad for guys if they struggle. Like, you're pro, you're getting millions of dollars. Like, I'm not going to feel bad for you. Like, you're fine. I feel bad for him. Does that make me soft? What is that?
Yes.
Is it?
Soft as a grape.
I've gone soft. I've gone soft now.
Soft as a
grape. I feel bad for him. He's getting roasted on Monday Night Football. Everybody's watching. You're nowhere near Allen Hurns.
See, I want to see the shot during the national anthem of him crying over there.
I mean, I felt bad then, too.
They're not going to show
I was like, anthem. What is happening right now? He's really emotional. But, yeah, he's going to get absolutely picked on Sunday. He is. What matchup is good for him? Maybe Hogan. But even then, you have your number one corner, or at least your number one paid corner, and now you're putting him on the third or fourth receiver. Like, that's not what you really want to do. But Vrabel's sticking by him, and maybe you're hoping, maybe if you're the Titans, actually, I don't hate the idea of Vrabel sticking by him. I mean, one, maybe money has a lot to do with
and
it.
Maybe
but
he doesn't have anything appreciably better anyway.
He may not.
Although it's hard to picture that based on the fact that his numbers are the worst for any cornerback in football.
I was going to say, just based on the numbers, they're all better options.
It seems like you would be better. Well,
I would be. I was a nice high school corner.
Were you?
Yeah, oh yeah. No. Yeah, a lot of
Well,
picks.
You had to go both ways.
Ironman football. Defense, Ironman football.
Special team.
Terrible team.
But you have like 11 guys on the team.
Pretty much. Yeah, it might as well have been. You're exhausted at the end of the game. But this is for Vrabel. If Malcolm Butler can't get motivated to play well against the Patriots and have a good game against the Patriots, then it's not meant to be.
When you play man coverage, you have to look at your Manning.
You know, trying to keep an eye on him.
When you get coaching,
don't let him go to the
end zone. You get coaching like that, it's on you if you screw this up.
Hey, it's man-to-man.
I mean, they have done everything they can do to put you in a position to be special.
That's right. You're a man. He's a man. That's going to be sort of the matchup.
Go where he goes.
Don't let him catch the ball. Like, okay, can do.
You know, when you look back at the quarterback, your man has a tendency to go in another direction.
That happened.
But you
know, that happened in glorious fashion.
But you know exactly what this is all about. This is storyline.
Yeah.
It's the week's storyline. Last week, it was Aaron Rodgers is better than Tom Brady.
The GOAT.
By the way, no, the Brady GOAT, and the Aaron GOAT. And none of us, by the way, around here bought it, but nationally, it was give us something. This week, it's Belichick was right about Malcolm Butler, you know.
No, I don't know that. And you can't convince me of that. There's nothing you can say that would make me. And again, I am one of these people that said he should have started, but I can understand those that said, all right, well, the matchup and blah, 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 blah. And,
he was sick.
Fine.
He missed practice earlier in the
sick,
week.
Right.
All that stuff.
But he was active.
Yes.
He was active. You know, he wasn't.
Had one real strong special teams play. I have no idea what he did.
He was on 100% of the punts in the game.
I have no idea.
But if he wasn't in like a hospital bed, he wasn't in a prison cell, he wasn't, you know, in a different part of the country, he was on the sideline, he was ready to go, you could have played him, you didn't. So I don't care if he's the worst cornerback the rest of his career, like this season, which he apparently is, if he continues this, and then is out of football in a year, it makes no sense. And again, the Darrelle Revis comparison I had, he was awful the next year. I don't know if the stats backed it up as the worst, but he was pretty bad.
Yeah,
right?
It felt that way.
There was highlight reels of him just getting torched.
Yep.
And it was the exact example of somebody getting fat and happy. Because
or fat and unhappy.
Fat, happy, and paid. Whatever it was, because he got all those things. But he was really good the year before. Have you never seen players get worse year to year? Has that never happened? And so I guess you should have saw that coming. Right, the cliff. So it's going to happen, so you should sit him out. Don't let him finish this season, because next season he's going to be bad.
Here comes the cliff.
Makes no sense. Makes zero sense to me. But the Titans, you know, they got a scrappy little team down there. Wouldn't you say? They've got some former Patriots and Butler, and Deion Lewis is having a good year.
And I think Mike Vrabel's going to be a good coach. I really do.
It's
a little
right?
early on in his tenure.
No, but he seems like a good
I don't want to
like
go crazy
coach.
Here, but, you know, he's obviously learned a lot from the people he's played for and played with.
And by the way, not a Belichick coaching tree guy.
No.
Right? Let's make that clear.
No, just because you played
for
him
doesn't mean you're in the tree. He'd be in, like, the Bill O'Brien tree, I guess. So I guess maybe all the branches down, I guess, sort of goes leads to Belichick. But he was never on the staff with Belichick. So this isn't McDaniels or Romeo Crennel, right? Or I don't consider it that. But definitely a Patriot feel down there. And they're, you know, again, what they just improved to 4-4 with their win on Monday night. So they still have a chance at maybe a wild card spot. So it's a big game for them. Logan Ryan, another guy too. So I mean, a lot of former Patriots part of the Titans now.
They've got a from the general manager right on down. It's like they were determined they were going to rebuild this darn thing. They were going to figure out a way, one way or the other. You know, this is what we've got to get. This is what we've got to build, and they're trying. But you know, you look at Dean Pease is there as part of the staff. He was here, obviously.
Right.
And Dean Pease's kid is on the staff as well, by the way. Matt Pease is there.
Matt Pease?
Don't start.
They got Matt Pease?
Do not start. I just happened to run across it. But John Robinson is the general manager.
Right, he was here.
Yeah, they've got a bunch of former players down there. And this all makes sense. Belichick did that when he came in here. Bring in guys that he's worked with, guys that he knows, guys that he trusts. You know, you've got Logan Ryan, and now you got Malcolm Butler, and you've got other guys down there. It all makes sense the way they're trying to do it.
Now,
it almost always fails, by the way. Everybody who says, well, we're just going to do what the Patriots did.
Don't do that. Yeah.
It almost never works.
Yeah, Texans have had, I would say, mixed success with that. You know, the Texans had a lot of guys, right, whether it was obviously Bill O'Brien, Romeo Crennel. Then they had, actually, Mike Vrabel was on that staff, Vince Wilfork. Like, they kind of tried it to a certain degree. Successful enough, right? I mean, they'd make the playoffs, but certainly not to the highest level. But you know who's going to be, I think, super motivated too for the game is Deion Lewis, and he's had a pretty good season.
He actually talked about that a little bit yesterday. He said, "You know, I've got nothing but love for those guys, but I'm really looking forward to playing against them."
And that's a guy that I think could have a pretty big game against them because they have Derrick Henry back there too, but they barely use him. And Derrick, one of the great images of the preseason was Derrick Henry and Deion Lewis standing next to each other. And it was Schwarzenegger DeVito from Twins. It was you got this one guy who looks like RoboCop, and then you have a tiny little munchkin of a man, and you're like, these are the two running backs, and then the tiny guy, significantly better. Like short yardage, third down, like it doesn't matter. And so Deion Lewis, you remember how emotional he got when he signed the deal and he was saying how nobody else wanted him and all this other stuff. So even though the Patriots gave him an opportunity and he was really good here, I could see him getting really fired up to play well against the Pats.
Man, it's a tough situation, man. It's emotional.
He was. What a baby, right?
What
a loser.
Got a little Rich Keefe tinge
what
to
do you
it.
Mean?
What?
He was sick too?
Probably allergies kicking up.
Maybe they had cats and dogs.
Fresh mowed grass.
You never know.
Little Fortnite action. I mean,
pathetic. You act like a man.
A blast.
Who's this?
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
Oh, that was a different day.
Sounds a lot like the other guy.
Listen, Deion Lewis, he's obviously very confident that he can cry in front of a group of people, right? Deion Lewis. I'm talking about him specifically.
I'm sorry. I was trying to figure out who it was you were talking about.
Nobody else. Emotional.
I think that you're my go-to source on this. What's the spread now?
I think it was six. Oh, no, 6.5.
6.5.
And they're on the road.
6.5-point favorite there. They're going to win by more than 6.5.
I think so, too. I'm not wild about Marcus Mariota. And it's weird because he's a lot of times if you're a number one or number two pick in the draft, the quarterbacks-wise, it's up to 7 now? Yes, it's on the right. You better get in there now, Dale. You better hop aboard that.
Right now.
Before it gets crazy.
Hold on. Let me call Pickles.
I think...
Hello, Pickles.
Wouldn't you say, a lot, especially over the last 10 years, if you're a number one or number two pick quarterback, there's kind of extremes, right? You're either really good or on your way to being really good, like a Jared Goff, or you're a bust, like you're like Jamarcus Russell, and you're terrible. Mariota's kind of in the middle. Like, he doesn't suck, but he's definitely not good. Like, I don't think
Mariota... Is he better than Blake Bortles?
Yes. Well, yeah, he is. Is he not?
Not a lot.
No, he's not a lot.
No.
No, he's not a lot.
And you think Blake Bortles sucks?
I do.
So why don't you think Mariota sucks?
I don't know. Maybe I just got still caught up in how good he was in college, which should have nothing
to
do
with
this.
By the way, that was a while ago.
But
this is not his rookie season.
He was electric. He was a lot of fun to watch.
So was Tim Tebow. I don't think he was very good at the NFL level either.
Well, he won a playoff game. Don't forget.
So was Johnny Manziel. How's his career going in the NFL? Oh, that's right. He's not in the NFL.
He should be. Give him another chance.
No, he should.
Give him a chance.
Barely,
if I can change,
he's barely
you
adequate
can change.
In the
Manziel
CFL.
Can change.
I'm not talking about that part. I'm talking about
concussed.
His game.
No, I know. He's short. He's a little guy. Maybe
that makes it harder. Yeah.
I think, listen up. He should be a...
What? What choice do I have? Where am I going
to
go?
I don't know. You can tune me out. You don't have to go anywhere.
Good seeing you, brother.
Do you think Manziel could be a slot receiver? Load him up. 617-779-7937.
Yeah, for about the quarter and a half, he'd survive doing it.
I think he's... Yeah, no, it probably wouldn't work out.
His money sign will not be back.
Who's that?
Money sign.
Oh, money sign. Oh, that's good. He's retiring the money sign.
Money sign will not be back.
From football. He was fun to watch, too. The list of Heisman, like Robert Griffin III, they don't all pan out
doesn't
in the NFL.
Doesn't work out that
no.
way.
Yeah. No, they don't.
And you mentioned Flutie, you know, Heisman Trophy winner here.
Flutie.
Now, he was built for the CFL.
Yes,
tore
he
the
was.
CFL yeah. up.
And so should Manziel. I don't know if it's going to happen.
Except I don't think he has quite as much on the ball as Doug Flutie has.
Maybe not. I don't know. Have you ever met Johnny Manziel?
I have not.
Okay.
No, I've just heard him saying things like money signs getting retired.
Well, that's a sign of maturity, Dale, if nothing else. The guy's obviously
what was the sign of him inventing money sign to begin with?
Well, I mean, I don't know. He knew he was going to get paid. He was an electric college player. He was a first-round pick. That's pretty good.
He was
Tom Brady can't say that.
No,
can
he can't.
That's right.
So Manziel better than Brady. 617-7. No, we're not going to do that either. We got a bunch of other stuff we're going to talk about throughout the course of the day. Celtics and Bruins both play tonight. We've got some Red Sox stuff because I don't know if you've heard this before.
Yeah, what's that?
Scott Boras usually thinks his clients are pretty good.
Should I?
He sometimes, you know, doesn't tell you all how good he thinks they
could
are.
Could I hire Scott Boras? Do you think he would take me on?
Sure, yeah.
I think that could really help me. I might. I'm thinking about it.
Okay, we'll be
call Scott Boras during the break here and see if he can set up a meeting with me.
We'll be starting tryouts for my new co-host starting Monday. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe, WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Swinging a looper to right field, sinking fast, it gets down for a base hit, Mookie scores, here comes Benny, he scores too, on to third, Pierce, 4-2 Red Sox.
Joe Castiglione on the call of another J.D. Martinez highlight. J.D. Martinez had a great year. I mean, great year. If you think about it, you're wondering, why the hell did it take so long for somebody to get this guy signed to a contract? And all the other GMs out there are saying, yeah, we'll wait, we'll see. They got to be going, what were we thinking?
It was such a weird market. You remember they started spring training without him? Remember John Henry had that whole interview where he's like, yeah, we've made a lot of changes. And there, I think it was Buckley was like, yeah, like what? Like besides the skipper, like we understand Alex Cora.
And it's turned out really good move.
And that was a great move. But he's like, well, like, you know, how many of the coaches are still back? And so they got rid of most of the coaches, right? Daniel Evangie was the only guy who returned. And maybe he knew J.D. Martinez was on the way, but it was a very weird little exchange because you didn't make a lot of, like, the team was pretty much coming back, and then they eventually got J.D. Martinez, but it took forever. I mean, remember, it was nonstop wondering, all right, when are they going to get this guy, or who's going to get this guy? When is this going to be done? And then it ended up working out for the best, for
worked
sure.
Worked out huge. I mean, he won the Henry Aaron Award as the best offensive player in the American League. He was not a finalist for MVP, although many people thought he should be.
Mm-hmm.
They went with Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, Jose Ramirez, and people thought, well, he must have been fourth, and we may find out that's where he finishes.
Mm-hmm.
But needless to say, Scott Boras, who is his agent,
yes.
Which, by the way, if you're a Red Sox fan, should scare the hell out of you. I mean, just should.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it is.
He's got that whole opt-out thing coming.
Next year,
so,
he can.
So Scott Boras, never shy about sticking up for one of his guys.
Mm.
Sometimes takes it a tiny bit too far. Too
much. But his leadership and impact on the team was extraordinary, where the writers were very well aware of it, and there was recognition for it. Now, I don't know of any player at any time in my career that's had a greater impact on a team, apart from his performance, with his leadership and influence in the locker room, and the unique information he conveyed and his interaction with the ownership and with the coaches. I don't know of any player ever that's had more of an impact on a team than what JD did in 2018.
Well, Dale, he does bring up some good points. He had a good relationship with ownership.
No player has ever had a greater impact. Now,
won the whole thing, he's automatically on the short list. He was the one major player change. Now, I know they got Evaldi, who was great, and Pierce, who was great, and they added, even Ian Kinsler. So it was a different team.
I would say the performances of guys like Betts and Bogarts and Benintendi.
But Boris would argue that Betts was really good because of Martinez.
Made it possible for them.
Think about it. I don't think he's as crazy as you would initially think. I think Martinez, how many stories did we hear about how he watches so much video on hitting and how there was the trickle down to, you know, he would tell Devers something was up with his swing, or he would talk to all these guys about their swing and how seriously he took hitting, right? Like, that was so important to him, and I think it did kind of rub off on some of the other players.
So he's obviously going to stick up for his guy,
and he's
real good at it. You know, when J.D. Martinez opts out, assuming they don't get something done in this offseason, with Boris, you just never know.
I hope they do get something done.
But assuming they don't,
yeah.
When he opts out, you know, Boris will have some 300-page spiral-bound notebook telling you every single reason why he should be the highest-paid player in the game. He will make the case,
yes,
that J.D. Martinez should make more than Bryce Harper, more than Mookie Betts. It's what every time he does it, we mock him, and then he always gets more money than we think he's going to get for his
game. I don't know of any player at any time in my career that's had a greater impact on a team.
Is that right? Nobody better, huh? Well, I don't know if he's going to say he should make more than Bryce Harper, only because Bryce Harper is also a Scott Boras guy. So maybe he'll say, he can't really compare the two.
Somewhere Bryce Harper's saying, hey, save that line.
Hey, wait a minute.
Be using it now.
But one thing that he won't have on his PowerPoint presentation for every team will be the WAR stat. Because
he doesn't like the WAR.
No, we're not here.
Well,
he'll
like it with Bryce Harper, by the way. He will tell you, WAR numbers for Bryce Harper.
So
you wonder why I'm asking for $400 million.
Because this is going to be the big knock on J.D. Martinez, and when it comes to MVP. Now, maybe I care about it more than others. We know that he's not going to finish in the top three, but there's also a big difference. Does he finish fourth, and you're like, hey, it was a competitive year, or does he finish somewhere like seventh or eighth? Because all these voters are obsessed with WAR. And so, for example, in the American League, Mookie Betts, who, forget stats, you just look at him and you're like, he had the best season. And WAR actually backs that up. He did. He had the best WAR.
He had the best year in the American League.
So even the Mike Trout diehards that vote for Mike Trout
every
single year.
Which is what they always use when they vote for
him. Always. And so Betts actually was better in wins above replacement than Trout was. So Trout was second. But then Chapman from the A's was third. Jose Ramirez and Francisco Lindor tied for fourth. Alex Bregman also had a better WAR than J.D. Martinez. So I think it's going to be pretty telling where he finishes. Like, do people kind of ignore that? They're like, hey, we're going Betts, Trout, Ramirez, and then we're going to, you know, recognize the season Martinez had. Or because he spends more time as a DH, do you just dismiss everything? Like, I feel like guys – now, Betts is the extreme because Betts is an elite defender.
He wins everything. He's the Gold Glove winner.
Right.
He's the WAR winner. He is the clear-cut MVP just based on all the measurables that you use.
But some people who just, like, have a glove and play in the field and are average to below average, like, I don't know if they deserve a ton of credit. You're like, yeah, okay, they're out there, but – this team is designed for him to be the DH 2/3 of the games. So be it. He led the league in RBI. He led the league in a number of stats. He had a ton of home runs. Like, I still think we're getting too far down the Keith Law road of...
Oh, don't say that. You get
it
you,
is
you
though.
Get all upset.
Don't
when
you think
say
it kind of is?
Like, yeah.
These guys, and not the, oh, you got to watch the game. I'm not trying to be that person, but you also can't just get a spreadsheet.
What do your eyes tell you, Keith?
Well, I know, but isn't it there? Shouldn't there be a fine line? Like, that's too much. Like, the guy that's, I can smell the game and I know who's good. But that's too far. Like, there are stats that help you. But I shouldn't just look at the spreadsheets and just calculate all the numbers and be like, here's your MVP. Like, there's a little bit more to that, too.
And for people who don't understand how the process works, I'll just explain it to you. You vote at the end of the regular season. And you can, you don't have to, but you can put 10 names on your ballot. From 1 to 10, you know, I think Betts is 1,
yeah.
Trout is 2, and they add them all up, and when they say these are the three finalists, they're the top three vote-getters.
Yeah, so we already know the top three.
Right. Now, we don't know who's 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th. We'll find that out when they announce the winner, and it's next week?
I think it's next week. I think all those awards start coming out. I think they start with like Rookie of the Year, then Manager, and then Cy Young MVP.
So, you know, when we say these are the top three, we're just saying everybody could pick 10 guys. These were the guys who got the most votes in those positions. For all we know, J.D. Martinez is going to be fourth. And I wouldn't really care. If he finished fourth, it's like, okay, good.
What if he finishes eighth?
That would be harder to justify.
And I think there's
a chance. And Scott Boras' head would explode.
It would. He would lose his mind. But, like, they've gone too far to the extreme. They're like, well, RBI, it's really more like it's a situational stat. Like, no, the guy who drives in the most runs, to me, is still important. Like, I think that is very helpful to a team. And I do think that the impact that he had is significant. I think that should be included.
Do you know why voters use war?
Because what is it good for?
Thank you, Keith.
Yes, you're welcome.
The reason I think they use war
is because they don't watch everybody.
They like Mike Trout a lot. They think he's the best player in the game, and they got to somehow justify it on a team that sucks.
Baseball nerd.
That too.
Baseball nerd.
So they grasped a hold of war, and they said, well, clearly this is the best player in the game. I know he didn't help his team do anything. I understand that, but he's clearly the best player. And it was like they grabbed a hold of that because it helped justify their vote for Mike Trout as MVP on a team that might have finished last.
So for position players, war is the number of runs above average a player is worth in his batting, base running, and fielding, plus adjustment for position, plus adjustment for league, plus the number of runs provided by a replacement level player divided by runs per win.
That seems pretty clear to me, Keith. I don't know. I don't understand what your problem is.
That's the best player. Like, it's a lot. And I also think that sometimes when you look at stats like this and you sort of begin to look into the formula, base running, which I think is important, I think that can be a little bit overvalued. So if you have some guys.
And Mookie's clearly a better base runner than J.D. Martinez.
And so is Trout.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why Trout and Mookie Betts, if he keeps this up, you know, Mookie Betts' war is always going to be really good. Like, Betts and Trout, the way they play, like, it does, and I understand it, like, it does lend itself more to the five-tool player.
Sure.
But if
Which, by the way, I don't generally have an issue with.
No, I don't either. But if you're a dominant three-tool player, like, and really dominant, like, you're, like so, for example, J.D.
You,
Martinez.
You hit for the best average and the most power.
He almost won the Triple Crown.
Right.
I mean, I don't know, almost, and we can go and you can quibble with that. But for a while, he was leading all three, or he was second batting average most of the year to Betts. He was leading the other two until Chris Davis came on. So it would have been a great debate. And this is sort of what the Miguel Cabrera, Mike Trout stuff was going back a few years. It was Triple Crown. So that's more of like your old school baseball fan versus Mike Trout, the king of the war stat. And then those two, and Cabrera beat him the year that he won the Triple Crown, but it was super close. And a lot of people voted for Trout, and they thought he had the better year.
Now, here's the problem with Boras's statement that he made. He's trying to hype up an immeasurable. Leadership, clubhouse presence.
Well, Keith Law would not know what that was.
No, I understand.
Right.
And I'm not saying that it doesn't matter. I'm saying, how does he know how Mike Trout's leadership is, you know, in the Angels clubhouse or
Jose Ramirez. Well, he would go. I think he would go.
Well,
with
then
wins.
He clearly can't even begin to compare his client to Mookie Betts, right?
He can't really. No,
he can't.
How do you know? I'm saying his
client is great. You know, great leadership, great numbers. Mookie's better. And by the way, still has great leadership, according to the people in the clubhouse.
But his argument would be, they look what happened to them the last 2 years. Like, they won low 90s games, and then they got bounced in the first round. And I understand that it's a regular season award.
Yeah,
but
he can't even begin to try to say, this is it. The only reason they're better now is because of this guy.
See, I don't know if
he's a significant part of their improvement. I understand that.
I don't know if he's even saying that he's better than Betts. I think he is saying he had a better...
And by the way, Martinez would say, don't do that.
No, probably not, but he could say he had a better season than Jose Ramirez, and he may have had a better season than Mike Trout. I think that one's a lot harder
to
argue. I would have voted him third.
You know what it sounds like to me? A guy who's got bonuses for top three MVP status.
Does he? I mean, he might.
I mean, doesn't it sound like that?
No, see,
Scott Boras is going, hey, come on.
I know some people don't care, but I do care. Like, I think these things are important. You know, it's a team game, but then there's so many individual awards that kind of spin off of it. And where a guy finishes in the MVP vote, I think it does matter because ultimately it could be what helps get them into the Hall of Fame or not. Or just when you're comparing players down the road, which is one of the great things to do in the history of sports talk radio is which player would you rather have? Like those kind of topics, it's voting and little things like this that do end up mattering.
I understand what Boris is doing. It's exactly what he gets paid to do. Nobody is better at it than he is.
And yeah, he's so patient. The guy is as patient as it gets.
And I bet he's always saying to his clients, just, it's okay. We'll get there. Just trust me. We'll get there. The beauty of it is this year, as Red Sox fans, you don't really care. Any of it.
Oh, I just said I care. I mean, the MVP stuff?
I'm saying it'd be great. It's nice.
Oh, see, I care.
But you've got a World Series title sitting on your mantle, so it's like, it's not like in the past.
Oh,
where
but I think you know,
MVP mattered because we didn't win anything otherwise. No. And
now, the other thing, too, and we can get into it, is you look at a couple of the other guys that are still arbitration eligible, but if you're talking about Scott Boras and how aggressive he can be and how much money he gets for all of his guys, well, Xander Bogaerts and Jackie Bradley are also Scott Boras guys. So you wonder, now, they're in different kind of ranges. Like, I think Bogaerts, by the time he becomes a free agent, you look around the league, some of the other shortstops, you know, what he's capable of, I could see a scenario where he prices himself out of Boston. Jackie Bradley, despite being the ALCS MVP, you would think he'd be a little bit more reasonable, or sort of what he is, but you never know. He's got Scott Boras, so maybe he's going to, you know, maximize what he can get. Maybe that's somewhere else as well.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Peter King will join us at 11:30. He's our regular Thursday guest. But we'll get to the calls with you coming up next. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
I'll tell you what's really funny. It's amusing to me, and then we'll get right back to the topic here.
All right.
So the nice folks at Roach Brothers,
yes,
are in celebration for their tasty tailgate, have brought in some food.
Some food.
Just a few little things.
Okay.
You know, a couple of wings and
good.
Some sandwiches.
I'm gonna dip in there.
All right, it's a 5-foot sandwich, but you know, but some food.
That's pretty good though. So
they brought in 20 pounds of wings.
I'm sorry?
20 pounds
of wings?
Now, here's the funny part, okay?
Well, good, because Lucy's here today.
Well, yeah, Lucy's going to eat 10 of them all by herself. But here's the funny thing.
Yeah.
The building's empty.
Well, we got a lot of eating to do, then, Dale.
Everybody else who works here has already moved to the new facility, which is like, you know,
they're gone.
500 yards away.
Right.
So it's just us.
Good.
With
I'm
enough
hungry.
Food to feed East Boston.
Well, that's fine. I'm excited.
So, I mean, there is enough stuff in there, thanks to the good folks at Roach Brothers.
Yes, thank you.
In celebration of their tasty tailgating. And I did say to them, I did go out and I said, listen,
yeah,
I hardly ever start pounding wings at 10:45.
That's all right.
So I'm looking forward to
We're
it.
We're here
but
till 2. That's fine.
We'll be here.
It'll be gone before OMF gets here.
You'll like my son, you'll be one of those guys. He calls it grazing.
Oh, just graze.
He likes to graze. Oh, you know,
every
some
break,
time.
I'll go in there and have a couple wings. And by the end of the day, it'll add up.
Well, if Lucy lets you have any of them.
I know.
So
she's
it's
defending
kind of,
them already.
I think we're going to clean up pretty well.
All right, good. Fair enough.
I hope they brought some wet naps because it's going to be just awful in here. So we talked about this whole thing, Scott Boras, and apparently somebody was listening to Scott Boras yesterday.
Who's that?
It was Bill James,
senior
advisor on baseball operations for the Red Sox. So for some reason, he spent part of his day yesterday on Twitter arguing against the value of players.
Bill James was?
Yeah. Now, a guy
so
from...
So he's anti-players.
Well, wait. What he basically says is that baseball players are replaceable. If you don't have this player, you get another player, you go on. So a guy named Chris Towers of CBS said, what about the players who are drastically underpaid for most of their careers / primes? To which James responded, my heart bleeds for them.
Oh, okay, so now he's so this guy. He's having a bad day, obviously.
So this is the
what happened to Bill James.
This is the Red Sox senior advisor on baseball operations,
and he just hates players.
He's just gone crazy.
But that's the whole idea. So again, going back to these nerd stats and the WAR stat, that's wins above replacement. So to say they're replaceable, well, I think they're kind of proving out that somebody like Mike Trout or Mookie Betts are only replaced by Mookie Betts or Mike Trout, right? Like, you can't just toss in another, like an average major leaguer. That's sort of the whole idea.
So Justin Verlander tweeted out this article in which Bill James is
good player
thinking that baseball players are replaceable.
Well,
he responded. He says, this is Verlander now.
Yeah.
Wonder if the Red Sox win the World Series with a replacement player for Mookie Betts or J.D. Martinez or David Price or Bogarts or Bradley or Sale or Porcello or Benintendi or Devers or Kimbrel ...
Maybe Kimbrel. maybe they find a way to squeeze by without Kimbrel.
So now Justin Verlander is obviously in favor of players being paid as they should be paid.
Yeah.
At one point, Scott Boras was criticizing teams for tanking. And there was teams that tanked last year. And James responded on Twitter, because, of course, some players getting more money than they are worth doesn't have anything to do with it.
What was his problem?
He was in a mood.
I guess he really was.
He almost sounds a little bit like you did a couple of days ago.
What do you mean?
He's in a mood.
Well, it happens. Maybe. Well, it was raining the other day. I'm affected by the weather greatly. Yesterday was really sunny, so I don't know what Bill's problem was. But that's so dumb, because I think certain players are replaceable. Sure. Like, could you have swapped some of the guys out on the Red Sox and they won the World Series? Yeah. But not, you can't just say, oh, Mookie Betts. Like, if anything, professional sports, I think, are one of the places where the guys are not as replaceable. Like, you or I, Dale, unfortunately, replaceable. There are a lot of people.
Imminently replaceable,
there's a lot of people,
as we found out, sure.
You know, whatever your job is, like, chances are, unfortunately, you might be more replaceable. That's one of the reasons why these guys do get paid millions and millions of dollars, is because, well, one, you know, all the jobs it creates and everything else and what big businesses is, but also because it's not the most replaceable thing.
So here's the, as our former colleague Michael Holly would say, here's the nut graph.
Let's hear it.
From Bill James yesterday. Quote, if the players all retired tomorrow, we would replace them. The game would go on.
Oh, my God.
In 3 years, it would make no difference whatsoever.
Oh, he's out of his mind.
The players are not the game any more than the beer vendors are.
What?
Unquote.
What an idiot. First of all, salty Bill James has got to. Somebody send him some wings or something to cheer him up.
I
don't want to give him any of our wings. I'm just saying somebody else.
Okay, somebody
give him some wings. Did he see scab players? Did he ever see scab players? Is that still the game?
Oh, that wasn't so good.
So go watch the XFL this year, or what is it? The AAF. I don't know, that's football, but just the idea of, if you take away the best players in the game, I understand it's still the game, but are you filling out, you know, if two high school teams are playing at Fenway Park, are they selling out Fenway? No. You want to see the best. So you can't.
So tell me
all
how
the players can't retire, and then the game goes on. Like, that's not how it works.
What does John Henry think when he reads this stuff from Bill James?
He's like, we still have him on staff.
Wait a minute, we're paying him for what? So we just want him to go out
players.
And piss off.
Yeah, all the players.
J.D. Martinez.
I have to laugh.
Yeah, I would definitely. That doesn't make any sense to me.
So when you read James' stuff on Twitter yesterday, the most generous way you could put it, and I don't think this is the case.
Yeah.
Is he saying, well, fans don't root for the names on the back. They root for the names on the front.
Disagree with that.
Well, yeah, and I disagree with that. Yeah. But that's the most generous reading of what he's saying. Bill Baer, who wrote this for NBC Sports Boston, said, that's the most generous way you can look at it. I don't think that's what he was saying at all. He's saying, hey, if J.D. Martinez leaves, we'll find another J.D. Martinez. We'll find somebody else.
I mean, listen, if you have to replace one guy, like that, the game does have to go on. So David Ortiz, for example, retires, and yeah, you have to find a way to replace him. That's how it works. But if you took away all the best players, it's now AAA baseball. AAA baseball is not going to have the same type of appeal as Major League Baseball. Like, if there's that much of a drop-off in talent, like, look at some of these independent leagues. They're playing the same game, but they're playing in front of 20 people. And one of the reasons is because they're not the
best.
Nobody
wants to see it.
Well, they're not the best at what they do. Like, for all these entertainment purposes, you want to see the very best, whether it's every sport, you know, music, whatever. You're there to see the best that's available.
So you've got the Red Sox on, you know, they're still on a high. They've just won a world championship.
And they should be.
They're happy as can be.
You got Bill James.
So you got Bill James, yeah. Justin Verlander tweets it out, responds, says, wonder if the Red Sox win without that. Jackie Bradley Jr. retweets Justin Verlander.
Good for him.
And says, thanks for sharing, JV, at Justin Verlander.
JV? So, calls him JV?
I don't know.
Jeez.
So even Jackie Bradley Jr. is saying, yeah, what Justin Verlander said. Yeah.
Well, ironically, I do think Bradley's replaceable. But the point still stands.
It's a gold glove outfielder. Thank you.
Okay, there's like six of them every year. But my point is, most of these guys aren't. Like, so if you took Mookie Betts off of the Red Sox, or Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez, and you replace them with somebody other than Mike Trout or Aaron Judge, like the other however many hundreds of players or thousand players, they're not winning the World Series, right? Now, and you could make the case, hey, well, Mookie Betts didn't play well in the playoffs, but they don't win 108 games if he doesn't have an MVP season. So that whole thing to me is outrageous.
Now, if I'm a Red Sox player whose contract is coming up, who, you know, a negotiation may be forthcoming, whether it's J.D. Martinez or Chris Sale or Mookie Betts, whoever it is, I'm thinking, how much clout does Bill James have in this organization?
Hopefully none. Right?
Because he's basically saying, any of these guys, we could move all of them out and we'll be fine.
I don't think Dave Dombrowski shares that same
thought. I'd like to think he doesn't.
I don't think that he does. I think he knows that these players aren't replaceable based on how he does his business. Like, you think about the players, he's willing to give up these prospects in order to bring in these guys. And he's shelling out. Like, if he thought all these players were replaceable and interchangeable, he wouldn't have given David Price $217 million, right? Like, you just get somebody cheaper. Like, they're all the same.
Bill James and Math
1?
Yes.
But my son, the stats geek, would have a better grasp of right. human relations. That Bill James has zero concept that, you know, they want a good relationship with these guys. They want them to want to play here. They want Mookie Betts to say, you know what? We can start discussing a deal now if you want.
Let me ask you something.
Because Bill James is saying, it doesn't matter. Go if you want. We'll get somebody else.
The stats are for losers.
Let me ask you, why is he on the staff?
Supposedly it was John Henry. John Henry appreciated his sabermetricians, appreciated the fact that Bill James was the father of sabermetrics. When he bought the team, he put Bill James on the staff to take advantage of, you know, the advanced mathematical analysis that James was doing.
Yeah, well, hopefully he has no say in who stays or goes or any kind of player.
But if you're a Red Sox player, that's what you're wondering. This guy is described as a senior advisor for baseball operations.
Now, so is Tony La Russa, right? And I would think Tony La Russa would think a lot differently.
I don't know what La Russa's title
whatever his title
is.
Yeah, Probably something like that.
Yeah. Bill James wasn't on a duck boat, I don't think, but Tony La Russa
was. Everybody else was. He may have been.
Might have. All right, let's get to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937. Michael's in Framingham. Hey, Michael.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Sure. I'm not a big lover of Scott Boras, but I'm with him on war. War is a subjective, made-up statistic. It is not real. Things like RBIs and hits, those are real.
That's right.
Based on the vote for MVP, had J.D. Martinez won the Triple Crown, he still wouldn't be in the top three because of war, which makes no sense whatsoever.
I hear you, Michael. I'm with you. I'm right there with you. I do think.
I disagree with you guys in this regard. I think it.
I don't think it's useless.
Yes, exactly.
I just think it's being overly relied on.
What they're trying to do is give you a breakdown of something beyond home runs, RBI, singles, doubles. They're trying to flesh it out. A guy might bring other things to the table that makes him valuable as well. Now, in the case of Mookie Betts, he's got them all. You know, he's got everything.
Yeah,
Gold Glove outfielder,
he's the total package.
Cannon arm.
Yeah.
You know, all the offensive statistics you'd ever want. But there are players, I think their point is, the sabermetricians who kind of invented this thing is, look, you can't just judge a guy based on batting average, home runs, RBIs. There are other things that weigh into it.
No, and that's why I think that it's just, the stat should be used to talk about war, but I disagree with the people that say it's the only stat that matters, and then I also disagree with the people that say you shouldn't even look at it. Like, it has no relevance, because it does, and you know, every once in a while, you'll see kind of an outlier. Like, you'll look at it, you'll be like, oh, that guy's in the top 10. But for the most part, I mean, think about it. Betts and Trout were 1-2. Okay, if there's a stat that tells you that, like, that's also an eye test.
Yeah.
That's also whatever. Like, everybody knows that. But here's a formula. And again, it's kind of complicated. But you do the math, you crunch the numbers, and those guys are the best. I think in the National League, like, Yelich was probably one of the top guys. And he's the favorite to win the MVP, but he also had a good season. And so the war numbers back it up. But I also, I don't like the idea of dismissing RBI. Like,
no.
Come on.
And they're not dismissing it. They're just saying.
Some of the super dorks do. Some of them do.
Are there super dorks?
Nerds. I don't want to besmirch dorks.
Yet another superpower?
No, nerds
is
are...
It, you know, is it another one of those DC comic movies that you like so much?
I would watch that. No, it's actually just a podcast that's great. See, dorks are just passionate about things, but they don't claim to be super smart.
You really wanted to be a super dork, didn't you?
I did. I am a super dork. Nerds are the ones that... Some of them are smart. Others just pretend they're smart, and they think they're smarter than everybody else, and it's just a whole nerd society. Dorks are just passionate about certain
subjects. We run a commercial on this station saying, I'm a stats guy. VORP is very important to me.
I like VORP.
I mean,
if we're talking about VORP, I think that has a lot more.
Not enough VORP talk on these.
No, that's better than war stat.
If I'm John Henry and I'm reading the stuff that Bill James wrote yesterday, and I don't know if he is or not.
Fire him immediately.
But if I'm John Henry, I'm saying, why the hell do I have the highest payroll in baseball if we could get rid of everybody and just bring other people in and be fine?
It doesn't matter. They're all the same.
Why am I paying all this money for this team?
Like, why'd you replace Pablo Sandoval? You should have just kept him.
Kept him because it doesn't matter.
Players
they're
are
all
the same.
Roger's on the cell phone. Hey, Roger.
What's up, Roger?
Guys.
How you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Oh, love the show.
Thank you.
A great job.
I agree.
Miss Michael, but, you know.
What are you going to
really
do?
Great job. As far as MVP, I'm so happy Mookie got it. Great, great player. Great year.
Well, he hasn't gotten it yet. He's a finalist, but I think he will get it.
Well, I guess you heard of it first, but...
thank you.
Anyway, J.D. Martinez, he made the team better because the who's hitting in front of him are going to get better pitches to hit. Those behind him, same way, they're going to get a lot better chance to hit. One other point, David Price, I made a dumb statement on the radio a while back saying he should pitch to contact, but that's not the case. He started to pitch like he had players behind him, so he wasn't so careful, was able to throw it, and voila, look what happened. Just a great team and a great year. Totally enjoyed them, as well as the show. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Roger.
Thanks very much.
Great season. Just some,
I don't know
just
if you
some
noticed.
Nice points. Just some, you know what? We get a lot of calls that call in and say, you know, Keith, you suck. Keith, I can't stand you. So if you want to mix in a few of these great show, love listening to you guys, that's fine. That's good for you. It's a morale boost. We need more of those.
We need morale boosts.
Lucy, do you not let those calls through for some reason? The ones
that,
Lucy that like the show?
Them.
I don't know.
You don't let, you're
no,
like, guys,
I don't let
you're
those.
Gonna
it's too positive.
A little more negative.
Have another wing, Lucy. Yeah. Go right at it.
I'm going to go scarf down.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Peter King at the bottom of the hour. It's Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.